This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through John 7, 37 through 39 in a message entitled, The Holy Spirit.
We have finished the book of Ephesians and we're on our way to Philippians and we'll be there in a couple weeks. But often when we stop, end a book and we're going to begin another book, it's nice to have a time to do what might be called topical messages. Last week we looked at Jesus, and today we're going to look at another important person in our lives. But before we did, I just wanted to share with you, this week I was in my devotions, and Matthew chapter 8, and I'd like to just share with you a little bit. You can look at the announcements that are in the bulletin there. Next week, as I said, is Vision Sunday. And then that'll be a special time that you would really enjoy. You don't want to miss that. So, but prior to that, I was just in my devotions going through the New Testament once again here as we begin the year. And I came to Matthew chapter 8. And I wanted to share with you some things that were spoken, I believe, that spoke to my heart. And nothing new. Today's message will not be anything new. But I pray that it will be a blessing, a renewed blessing to your heart. There in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 8, it says, when he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And notice who comes on the scene. Behold, a leper, an outcast of society came on the scene, came and worshiped him. And so this leper came and worshiped Jesus, saying, notice what he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What did he just express? One word, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that man, when he came in his life at that point, the disease that was upon him, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He had a great hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so he came with that type of faith, and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Today in our lives, we move by faith. I don't know about you, I've never seen the Father, but I know that he's real. I have never personally seen Jesus. I've never seen the Holy Spirit. I've never seen God in a tangible form in that way. But by faith, we believe what we believe, that he is who he says that he is, and he is the reality that we see. This man had that. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. How often do we need to come to Jesus and put before him what is on our heart? And that he might say and respond to our faith and say, I am willing. Faith is a powerful thing, but coming to the Lord in the power of our Lord is an amazing privilege that we can have. Then as it goes through Scripture, then we see in verse 4, Jesus said, see that you tell no one, but go. The leprosy was cleansed in that way, and be obedient to the commandments. And then look at verse 5. Another individual comes on the scene. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman centurion, a soldier, not a priest, but a soldier, pleaded with Jesus. Now, notice it's not for himself. It's for a servant. So he had come, a very powerful man had come to this shepherd, to this Jesus. And he says in verse 6, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be what? That takes faith. Faith. Jesus would go on to say, for I also am a man, verse 9, the centurion says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Then verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, you can see Jesus turning around and speaking to the disciples, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. To me, that included the disciples, at least to me. And this is a centurion. And so Jesus acknowledges that. And so how important is faith? Really, really important. But look at verse 13. This is a verse that stood out to me, and I'd like you to circle it, underline it. I've got stars next to it. I've got the word faith after it. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. What a message for us today, for our lives. Go your way. Go about your business. Go whatever the Lord has you do today. If we have tomorrow, tomorrow. We can't go back to yesterday. But today, and we are to go our way, whatever that may be in our lives, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. I think that is amazing. That just hit my heart. Do I operate in my life with this before me? Go your way. As you have believed, as you've trusted in me, you've relied upon me, you have adhered to me, then so let it be done for you. Now, we have experienced the Lord, and we know how good He is. But I just want to emphasize in view of this message today, that it is important for us to believe. Very important. And so as I said last week, we have studied Jesus. Just looked at Jesus. We come to Jesus in many ways in our messages, always, that His name would be high and lifted up. We have Him as an aspect of our message because it says, Jesus said, if my name is lifted up, I'll draw all men unto you. That's men and women, obviously. And so when we have an opportunity here, I know people, come to know people, but I don't know everyone that comes, and I don't know where they stand with the Lord. And so it's important that Jesus is lifted up and that He would draw people unto Him, unto salvation, unto salvation. And so today, we're going to look at another person of the triune God. And there on the screen, you'll see that person, the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus got three exclamation points last week. This week, for some reason, the Holy Spirit only got one. But He is equal, in case somebody remembered that. There should be three up there. I don't think I put three on my notes, but there should be three. The Holy Spirit. Now, for those that have been part of our church, we come back maybe every 2-3 years or something like that to talk about the Holy Spirit, because I believe that it is important. As I've mentioned before, I grew up in a church that taught about God the Father, God the Son, and God the okay? I don't remember truly teaching about the Holy Spirit. If I had to say my impression of the Holy Spirit, as I've said this before, was He was Casper the Friendly Ghost. He's none of those. As we will see today, He is the third person of the triune, or the third person of the triune God. He is God Himself. Now, all of us here would say yes. And you might say, well, Bill, why are you going back to this message? Well, number one, I believe because I've been guided by the Holy Spirit, but I believe it's necessary for us at times to review and to renew things that are important. We're going to talk about that. So go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 1, all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, God, as we see, created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Then verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Your translation, some would say that the Spirit of God was brooding over the face of the waters. Right here, I believe this emphasizes that the third person of the triune God was involved in creation. Right here, we see that He could only be God. He could only be God in the midst of that. Then go with me to Genesis chapter 41, please. So we see the first mention, and let's go to Genesis chapter 41, where we see an interesting scripture, because here in the midst of this is Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, a Gentile, and he recognizes something that is vital there in verse 37 of chapter 41 of Genesis. So the advice of Joseph was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is whom? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit." Something was different about Joseph, that a Gentile king would recognize that the Holy Spirit was in his life. Oh, that people would recognize that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Amen? That the world would recognize there's something different about us. And they might want to know what that was. And they would respond to that. Now, I'm not going to go to all the scriptures, but let me just mention some other scriptures in the Old Testament where we see that the Holy Spirit, the person, God Himself, came upon people. 70 elders in Numbers chapter 11, verse 28. Gideon in Judges. Samson in the book of Judges. Came on Saul, the king, in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Came upon David in 1 Samuel 16. Then moving into the New Testament, going through other places, just going by them over and over in the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit involved in people's lives. But we see in Simeon, Luke chapter 2, right in the beginning there, where Jesus is born. But Simeon, the Holy Spirit, came upon him. Numerous people in the day of Pentecost and throughout the New Testament. And so, may we cry out today, as others cried out and set an example for us, Holy Spirit, come upon me. That's important. It's a cry of faith. It's a cry of yielding. It's a cry of openness. It's a cry of need that we would say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. As the world is getting even more challenging, we're going to need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Would anybody say amen to that? Truly. And so that's what I believe part as we begin a new decade, we begin a new year, why the Lord would have this message, because we need to be His children walking in a total dependence upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. Couple, go with me to John chapter 7, please. In the New Testament there, John chapter 7, for just a couple of scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit. And I love this one in John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Today do we thirst. Now you come, cold, rainy, you came today. I would say that there's a thirst. I'm thankful for that. It's a privilege to be in your midst. It's a privilege to teach God's Word, to be with you, to fellowship together. But at times I have to ask myself, and maybe you would do the same, am I really thirsty, Lord? As Mr. Willis, a gentleman that lived with us, would say, he would say often, "I'm parched." And he wanted his British tea. And so we gave him his... Are we parched today? Is there a desire that we would be refreshed? Are we thirsty? Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Notice in verse 38, he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he, Jesus, spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Notice there, we must receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And we'll talk about where the Holy Spirit came upon people in a very, very wonderful way. Go to me, verse or chapter 14 of John, also now. Relationships are important. You and I have a relationship. No doubt you have a relationship with the person sitting next to you. Relationships are vital. And so we have a relationship with our Father. He's our Creator. We come and we pray to our Father in heaven. We have a relationship with Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior. He's come and He's died for us, and we're set free by the work that He has given, that He has accomplished on the cross. Today we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's important that we recognize that. He's not someone that is distant. He's someone that is very close to us. He draws nigh to us. As we will see, He comes into our lives. So it's very important that we would understand how He works in our life. In verse 15 of John chapter 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray." I'm going to ask the Father, and He, the Father, will give you another helper, that He, that helper, may abide with you. How long does it say? Forever. Forever. That word, as you know, for another means one just like me. Look it up. One just like me, Jesus is saying. And so another helper that He may abide with you. I believe that Jesus is recognizing this another helper is none other than God Himself. And then He defines who this helper is in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. As Jesus looked forward to His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and He looked forward to it, there 40 days would come the fullness of Pentecost, and we'll look at that in Acts chapter 2. He's speaking of that there, for He will dwell with you now. He dwells with you, drawing you unto Jesus, but then there comes this time where He will be in you. Is the Holy Spirit in you today? The answer would be yes, if you've accepted Jesus Christ. If you've not given your heart to Jesus Christ today, then He is with you. He brought you here to come that you might hear that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The gospel message. God Himself came, became a man, walked on this earth, never rebelled against His Father. He was crucified, put on that cross for our sins. He died. They put Him in a grave, and then He rose from the dead to the living and ascended into heaven, sit by the right hand of God the Father, and He's coming back soon. This afternoon would be great, right? Is there a Yahoo for that? Yeah, for that. And so we know that. And so there is this relationship that He has with us. In verse 18, He says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And so as we will see here in just a moment, the Holy Spirit is with us, and He desires to be in us when we accept Jesus. But I believe there's another relationship that we will see in Acts chapter 2, where He comes upon us to endue us with power on high. It's also mentioned in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit was received by the Samaritan Christians. He fell upon Cornelius, an individual, and then others with him. He was given to individuals, it says in Acts chapter 15. He baptized the believers into the body of Christ, which is important. He was poured out abundantly upon believers. It's not just partial what we get, but we get Him. He is an anointing that can be received by believers. We could go on in Scripture and see how the Holy Spirit interacts with human beings. How many have ever heard of E.M. Bounds? Okay, if you don't know of him and you like prayer, write down his name, E.M. Bounds. And his books on prayer are amazing. And he made this statement concerning the Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men and women. He does not come on machinery, but on men and women. He does not anoint plans, but men and women as they pray." Men and women of prayer. Now, not that He doesn't use plans, not that we're not to plan, but first of all, it's Him. He anoints Himself in our lives. It's very important to do that. And so, Who is the Holy Spirit? Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Very basic. You've been here before, but it's important that we just stay with the basics and build from there. Acts chapter 5. Who is the Holy Spirit? The answer to that would be God. How do we know that? Revealed in Scripture. And then we see the story between Ananias and Sapphira. They had a possession. They could have done anything that they wanted with it, but they lied about selling and giving only part of it. They didn't have to give anything. And then Peter in verse 3 said, Ananias, why has Satan, notice Satan, filled your heart to lie to whom? Who's it say? The Holy Spirit. And keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart that you have lied, you have not lied to men, but to whom? To God. Who's the Holy Spirit? God. It's that simple. And I know, but I didn't know that growing up. I was 27 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord. And then I began to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. He's God. He's not just this spirit. He's real. So the Holy Spirit is God. In Scripture, we see his deity set forth that he possesses divine attributes. In Psalm 139, we see that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we see the Holy Spirit has all power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, he has all knowledge. So he has the attributes of God there, everywhere, all-powerful, all-knowing. And then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, tells us that he is eternal. So who is the Holy Spirit? Again, being very basic, he is God. That's who we interact with. That is who comes into our lives. His deity is seen in his relationship to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Listen how he interacted with Jesus. Only God could do these things. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. No man or woman is going to conceive Jesus. No way. Not that we know that. It took a miracle of God, the Holy Spirit. In the midst of that, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit for service. No man or no woman is going to be the one that anoints Jesus for service. It was none other than the third person of the triune God, who is God himself, the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was crucified in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave commandments to the apostles and the church through the Holy Spirit. Who again is the Holy Spirit? Simply God. But he is a person too. He's not off and distant. It's an amazing reality that we have in our lives. He speaks, he intercedes, he testifies, he gives commands, he oversees, he guides, he teaches. All these things that we as men and women can do in our lives, he did according to Scripture, pointing out that he is a person. It's important. So we interact with a person. And sometimes we don't understand that. Now, I'm going to put some things on the screen. Some manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament. How is he revealed? The first one is, we talked about that, is coming upon men and women. Coming upon, there's this relationship that we're going to see here in Acts chapter 2 in just a moment, where he comes upon those people. He's with them. He is in them the moment that a person gives their heart to Jesus. But there's another relationship where he comes upon them. This relationship we see in Judges chapter 6 is spoken of as being clothing men. In Isaiah 32, is poured out upon men. In Acts chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 31, as filling men. We can see those things that we'd have there. As anointing men in Genesis and 1 Samuel. As the comforter, he works in our lives. His person is our comforter. And I love this one. He is our teacher. A person can stand before you and teach the Word of God, and that's wonderful. But if the Holy Spirit is not involved, then nothing happens. But if he's involved, then the Word will not return void. It will go out and find place if you're people of faith. And then we see him as one, the Holy Spirit, who came to empower us. It's a beautiful thing. Let's consider just for a moment some of the accomplishments of the Holy Spirit on our behalf. The moment we accept Jesus Christ, we are regenerated. This refers to a new birth, a new life, a spiritual resurrection, and being a new creation. How many today are new creations in Christ Jesus? That happened the moment that we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ. Instantaneously, the Holy Spirit did that work of regeneration. But he also did another work, the indwelling work. By the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, the individual is sanctified or set apart for God. But this is an instantaneous work. The moment we give our heart to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit steps in and indwells our life. Is that not amazing? Us but clay, us but finite. The infinite comes and steps into our life. This person, the Holy Spirit. When he comes into our life, he seals us. The sealing work of the Holy Spirit occurs at the moment of salvation, as does regeneration and indwelling. The sealing work of the Holy Spirit is an experience, not an experience, but a fact to be accepted by faith. He comes. What does it mean to be sealed? It signifies that we are owned by him. We are owned by him. A lot of us don't like to be owned, but I like to be owned by him. I really do. It speaks of identification. This is who is in my life. I identify with him. Sealing speaks of security. I rest assured of my salvation and secure in my salvation because of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me. And also, sealing speaks of a genuineness in our relationship. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And there's also his baptism work into the body of Christ. The baptism of or in the Holy Spirit must not be confused with the terms to be filled with the Holy Spirit or the term the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Here, the believer is placed into the body of Christ in living union with all true believers and baptized in Christ Jesus. See, we're all part of the body of Christ. Amen? That's why there should be unity. That's why we work together, because we're all part of the body of Christ. When does that happen? The moment we give our heart to Jesus Christ. Instantaneously, we see. The baptism of or in the Holy Spirit is related to our position in Christ, which is an instantaneous act at salvation and is not a work to be sought subsequent to being born again or regenerated. That's what happens. That's who we are. Praise the Lord. Anybody happy about that? That's a done work. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell inside of us and we're part of the body of Christ. But there is another relationship that I believe is important, and it started in the book of Acts. Go to chapter 2. It was given there. I shouldn't say started, but it came about in a very wonderful way, this relationship. The Holy Spirit is with us, drawing us unto Jesus for salvation. He comes into us the moment we accept Jesus. But here, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice the terminology is not in or with, but now it's changed to the terminology it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat, here comes that word, upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This wonderful relationship that I believe that has many terms that the way it's expressed, but we have with God. Here's some of these terms that we see in Scripture, just a few of them, that he comes upon us, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit as we study Scripture. We are baptized with, not in, but with the Holy Spirit. We are endued with power from on high. It's interesting, before being endued with power, the disciples found it hard to do easy things. After being endued with power, they found it easy to do hard things. A change had taken place. In Scripture, this relationship with the Holy Spirit is called the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit fell on them, poured out upon them. It's known as the gift of the Holy Spirit. The upon work or being filled with the Holy Spirit may also be defined as a spiritual state where the Holy Spirit is fulfilling all that He, God, came to do in the heart and life of the individual believer. Don't you cry out today and say, Lord, have it all. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. Lord, have it all. I want to surrender. I want to surrender. Today, did we pray that prayer that's found in Acts chapter 12? We surrender our lives, living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, that we would not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's the cry that we must have every time, this upon relationship that we have. Again, it's not that we would acquire more of the Holy Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit acquires more of us. Examples of receiving are all this relationship with the Holy Spirit are throughout the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, we've just seen it here. I love Acts chapter 8. We won't go there, but verses 5 through 17, the Philip and with the Samaritans, we see there that these group of people, Philip preached the gospel. They were saved. They were water baptized. And then Peter and John come down and then pray for the baptism with the Holy Spirit in their lives. And their lives are radically changed. Some of the results of receiving the upon relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just a few here, but some of the results. I believe the believer will experience greater separation from the world and a closer relationship with the Lord. That's progressive sanctification, continues to work. I also believe the Holy Spirit can more easily guide the Christian and apply the truths of the Bible as we walk in this relationship with Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Greater assurance of salvation and love for God and others. Prayer life, I believe, can be intensified, drawn into prayer. The believer's service, the empowerment for service, the exercise of spiritual gifts, I believe will increase. I believe as we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be bolder witnesses for Jesus Christ. He'll anoint us and we'll speak as Peter did after the day of Pentecost. He was a lot different after that day than he was prior to that. He went a fishing, didn't catch a thing. But then after that experience, then he stood up and many people came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. To understand the importance of this work of the Holy Spirit, one only needs to compare the lives of the disciples before Acts chapter 2 and the lives of the disciples after Acts chapter 2 and in that way. It's a beautiful relationship that we can have. We receive that relationship. It's important that we don't quench the Holy Spirit through unbelief, but we come in belief and cry out for it at times. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit through sin in our lives. You know, we're quick to repent of our sins as we cry out to Him, Lord, I want all. I want You to have all of me. Baptize me afresh today with the Holy Spirit, but we must have faith to receive. Now, I apologize for using this example, but it's the best example that I have. And it's an example that you that have been here know. But we were saved in June of 1975. Around July or August, Mike McIntosh, the pastor there, invited the whole church to come on a Saturday to a teaching about the Holy Spirit. Some of these things we're teaching today and about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. At the end of that time, he said, how many here would like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit? And raise your hand. And I looked at Bi, and we both went like this. We said, okay, I'm not sure about it. I don't understand it. I just received some teaching on it. But whatever it is, whatever it's out there, I just believe and I want it. Amen? I just want it. That was a weak amen. Okay. I want it. So what happened at that point, then the people around us laid hands on us, and we prayed specifically for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We believed that He was in us. We believed that He was with us. But now they were teaching us that there was this beautiful relationship where we could be clothed with the Holy Spirit. And we said, okay, we want that. So they prayed for us. They prayed for us. And after they prayed, I just knew that I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And He said this to us that I'll never forget. Be careful. After you leave here, the enemy is going to try to rob you of the belief that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He did that when I was saved. He tried to rob that from me. And as soon as I made a stand, you know, it made no difference. I knew that I was saved. Today, I still know I'm saved. But he will try to come and rob that. So we, Vi and I, got in our 240Z brown, dark brown, four gears on the floor, bucket seats and all that. We got in that. I'd love to have that car back, you know. And so, and then we just rode down where we were, where the church was, and we went through Mission Valley in San Diego, and we went up Texas Hill like this. And as we're going up to Texas Hill, I just looked over at Vi and I said, honey, I just know that I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't you? And she didn't respond as fast as I wanted her to respond. It was all on me. She didn't respond. She believed it. She, you know, felt that, but she didn't respond. And what it did is it caused doubt that if she doesn't believe, I don't know, you know, she doesn't believe that. We're one and all that. And so I just got real weird and I started just yelling at her and all that. And I'm riding up there. I get up to the top of the hill there at the, there was a red light and I'm in this lane and there's a truck in this lane. And as I'm there and we're just going through this whole thing and I look up at this guy, the windows were open. My window was open. His, and he looks at me and he just growls at me. He just, literally, he went, grrr. And I thought, that's weird. I'd never been growled at like that before, you know? And he just growled at me. And I thought, that is really weird. And then he looks at me and he says, why don't you eat my shorts? Well, I didn't even have shorts on. Or maybe he had shorts. I don't know, you know? But anyway, that was weird. Was that not weird? It was weird. And so I just then put that in first gear. The light changed green. I popped that clutch and I was going, yahoo! I know I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Because the enemy tried to rob it. And I knew. I knew. And I haven't doubted it since that day forward. For some reason, God saw fit that I needed that experience. Poor Vi was just riding along with me again. You know, she's done that for over 40 years, almost 50 years, riding along. But, you know, God good. This relationship is beautiful. Frank Gabellian said this, we may take it as a rule of the Christian life that the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we shall glorify the Lord Jesus. That's what it's all about. Can I say that again? We may take it as a rule of the Christian life that the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we shall glorify the Lord Jesus. Don't we want to glorify Jesus? It's not about us. It's not about us getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's about Him getting what? More of us. He loves us so much. He's got such good purposes for us. He just wants all of us so He can take us down that path and make life as it is to be. But are we open? Are we willing? Do we believe? And so as we conclude the message today, I have a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If not, why not? Would there be unbelief? Would there be that you've never asked? Would it be today that today would be the day to ask for it? It's always good to leave an opportunity to do that. And as we close the message, I want you to consider seven things that'll be on the screen here. Seven things that you can pray for today before we leave. If you want these seven things, you can text me and I'll get them to you. But the first one is that we might pray that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us. Would that be a good thing? That means us individually. It means for us as a church. We've been praying for over 2 years for a revival. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to ask Him to come and that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us. How many want that? That He would pour out before? Wonderful. Just wonderful. Second, we can pray that the Holy Spirit would give us life abundantly in Him. We can pray for that today. I pray that we continue to pray. The Holy Spirit, number three, convicting power we are to pray would be in our lives. Number four, we can pray and should pray the fruit of the Holy Spirit would be in our lives. Number five, we can pray and should pray. The guiding hand of the Holy Spirit would be upon our lives. We'd be guided by Him, moved by Him. We would sense His power. We'd go down the path that He has for us. Number six, the fire of the Holy Spirit would be on our lives. That which burns inside of us. Just burns inside of us. And then lastly, the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be found in our lives. Bailey, let's go back to the beginning of that. Number one again. Just look at these, please. The Holy Spirit would be poured out on us. Can we pray that today? The Holy Spirit would give us life abundantly in Him. May we pray that today? And the Holy Spirit's convicting power would be in our lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit would be in our lives. The guiding hand of the Holy Spirit would be upon our lives. The fire of the Holy Spirit would be in our lives. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be found in our lives. Praise the Lord. Do you think God would answer those prayers? He would do that. Today, one of those seven that you see, you might want to pray for it. I'm going to leave opportunity. Ed and the worship team are going to come up here. We're going to stand. We're going to worship. But you might just want to be filled. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. The teaching has gone out. And now your action would be just to cry out in faith and to receive by faith and just say, Holy Spirit, have all of me. Come upon me and do me with power from on high. Or you may pick one of the other six there and just point that out and pray for that. Amen?
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.